Hemingway.
Good morning. May it please the Court. My name is David Hemingway, and I'm here this morning on behalf of the plaintiff appellant, Carol Levitt. Your Honor, the District Court did not recognize in this case that when you view the record evidence together, evidence of a wholesale variance of employment policies and procedures by the Cook County, by the wholesale failure of the county to reserve highly relevant evidence about the decision-making process, objective evidence contradicting the decision-maker's testimony about her reasons for choosing Dr. Ronald Townsend as to be the sole remaining dentist at Cermak Health Services instead of my client, Dr. Carol Everett, that all of this record evidence, when viewed together, casts serious doubt on the credibility of the interested witnesses in this case, Dr. Simon, and the functional decision-maker, Dr. Couture, and also casts serious doubt on this legitimate non-discriminatory reason that the county has asserted that Dr. Townsend was objectively or that they honestly believed that he was more qualified than Dr. Everett. I'm going to first address this independent record evidence in light of Dr. Couture's and Dr. Simon's vague and what I would describe as very weak testimony about their decision-making process. But I do understand that today that my burden and the plaintiff's burden is more than just simply to say you can disbelieve the witnesses. We also have to put forward to you prima facie evidence, which if true would allow a jury or fact finder to find in Dr. Everett's favor at trial. And I will address that and show why, in fact, we have done it in this case. But it is not possible to get to that inquiry without first really looking at the record evidence about the decision-making process and how fishy and suspicious or pretextual it comes off. If you first look at the testimony of Dr. Eileen Couture, and she is the functional decision-maker in this case because she is the one who Dr. Robert Simon, the head of the of Cermak Health Services and the County of Health, specifically designated and said, you are the one who's going to make your recommendation, and he specifically testified that he relied on her recommendation solely in making his decision. Dr. Couture's testimony is vague to the point of being really no help at all in determining how the decision was made. She claims, for example, that she spoke to the medical directors at Cermak about the dentists there. She couldn't recall anything any of them told her. And it's important to remember that Dr. Couture had not been at Cermak for 3 years before coming back in early January or late December 2006 to conduct this supposed inquiry into how to go about the dentist layoff process. We know she didn't talk to any of the dentists, didn't interview them, and that includes the acting dental director at that time, Dr. Alan Knox. We know she hadn't worked, that her testimony basically does not reveal any independent knowledge about these dentists. She didn't talk to the chief operating officer at Cermak when doing her inquiry about who to retain. She asserted that Dr. Townsend, by filling in for the dental director when he was on vacation as the acting director on a few occasions, that somehow this was impacted or was significant in her decision-making process, when the dental director himself testified first that he never had any conversations with Dr. Couture, and second, that this was basically a paper tiger position with no real responsibility. She claimed that she reviewed productivity reports, which supposedly were in this report that she lost, and I'll get to that in a minute. But the county didn't produce the productivity report she says she reviewed. They produced one productivity report, and that productivity report actually shows that Dr. Carol Everett was a more productive dentist than Dr. Townsend for the period of that report.
Let me get back to his duties as a supervisor. There was some findings, that, as I recall, I thought, where he made decisions on vacation time and other executive-type decisions during the absence of Dr. Knox.
I don't recall that testimony, Your Honor, but that testimony would also be contradicted by what Dr. Knox himself said in sort of describing about that. And at the summary judgment stage, we would be get that inference that, in fact, that testimony, Dr. Knox's testimony, would be true as opposed to the plaintiff's. As opposed to Dr. Couture's.
You know, there's five dentists.
Yes.
They want to cut down to one. So, as I understand, your client is the only one of the four who didn't get the job who is pursuing litigation about it.
Yes, and I would have to go out to the record to explain why. All the other ones have either been offered a job back or have been returned at some point, except for my client. with the exception of one who I believe did not express any interest. Dr. Jack Liu has worked for the county since the layoffs. I believe Dr. Chandra Bundy Smith was asked to come back. Again, that's outside of the record. I don't want to represent that. I know Dr. Liu, that's the case. I believe Dr. Knox was also asked to come back. And in fact, I want to rephrase, Dr. Knox did pursue a claim. I believe it was a race discrimination claim based on his, I believe. I don't remember the details. And again, I could be wrong about that because he is African American. There may be other bases. So there has been other legal action taken by some, and some have been brought back instead of Dr. Everett. And Dr. Everett has pursued that through the compliance administrator's office, a complaint through the compliance administrator's office.
When you're in a situation like that and you have to, this is a terrible budget situation, I think you agree.
Yes.
So you have to cut down on the expenses and you make this decision, which seems pretty radical to cut down 80% of your dental staff, but that's what they did. How do you objectively decide which of these five dentists you're going to retain?
Sometimes that's a hard question. We have an easy answer here in that the county had a procedure. They used it for the physicians. They had just used it for the physicians. And the process was this. You interview them. You bring in this case, because the Cook County is under the Shackman decree and is under the continued court monitoring, particularly the County of Health is a focus of the decree. You do what you did with the physicians. You bring in the compliance administrator. You interview. You make all the positions available, and you have the potential applicants apply for the position. You interview them. You review personnel records, and you make the decision based on objective criteria as opposed to what happened in this case where Dr. Simon chose a trusted person, trusted advisor from the past to come in and to undergo something that completely varied from that physician process. And I think that physician process.
How many physicians were there at CIRMAC, and how many after the downsizing?
I'm sorry, I missed the first.
How many physicians?
There were significantly more physicians. I don't remember the exact number, but there were more than one physician positions. There were several, because I believe that the physician layoff did not just involve CIRMAC, but also involved other county healthcare areas.
So it makes sense that a more formalized policy would be adopted for the downsizing of the physician ranks as opposed to the dental ranks, because there's only five dentists.
I don't agree with that. That's the county's position, and the reason I don't agree with that is that this process was in place, and it was in place for a reason. And it was in place for a reason, and that reason was to minimize the possibility that political influence could come into the process. So to not use that process here, as opposed to using the physician, there's no valid explanation for it. In fact, Dr. Simon's testimony about it is incredible. And his testimony is that because they were funneling down from five to one, that because there's only one remaining position, there was no need to worry about whether or not political considerations would influence the factor. It doesn't matter if you're reducing to three or to one. If you're going to be trying to eliminate those factors, you would want to follow the same process. Now, I understand that standing alone, the fact that they did not follow the same process with the physicians doesn't establish standing alone that there was a violation of the Shackman decree, or that political patronage became a factor, or race. And I want to make clear something, although my brief focuses on the political patronage. The race discrimination case is probably a lot cleaner in terms of describing the summary judgment burden. I'll get to that in a second. But I don't believe that there's a significance in that the fact that there was a smaller layoff, that it was any more justification for not at least taking some of the steps that the county was well aware of, and Dr. Simon was well aware of, were taken with the physicians. And, of course, we don't just have a variance from procedure. In addition to that variance from procedure, you have the county not following its own rule, which is Rule 7 of the physician and dentists. They were supposed to coordinate the layoff with the Bureau of Human Resources. They were supposed to consider seniority as a factor, not as a determinative factor, but it was a factor to be considered, and we know that from the compliance administrator's report, which is attached at tab 8 to the plaintiff's statement of additional facts, where the compliance administrator specifically says that seniority was a factor under Bureau of Health Rule 7. Dr. Couture testified she didn't even consider seniority in this case. However, I think the most significant evidence here of fishy and suspicious circumstances is the loss of this report. This was a contemporaneously prepared report, which supposedly explained the rationale for the decision as to how to conduct this layoff of Dennis and how the decision of who was going to remain was arrived at. That report was not preserved, and very clearly there was a duty to preserve it. When you combine that with the fact that Dr. Couture in 2008 testified that she destroyed her notes of interviews she claims to have had with the medical directors who told her about the dentist, the plaintiff was deprived of considerable evidence here, which would cast light on the decision-making process. And when you have Dr. Couture's testimony being so vague on the basis for her decision, and without being able to point to objective evidence, and where there was objective evidence, it contradicted her, you have this whole mosaic that really cast doubt on the decision-making, the credibility of the decision-maker, and on the asserted reason for the decision.
There isn't any evidence that the loss of the notes was due to anything other than negligence, right?
No, there wasn't. Or the report. And I something I've said in the brief and before, and I want to make it clear, I know that the counsel for the county had nothing to do with the reports not being preserved. Negligence is still, first of all, sufficient enough to allow for an adverse inference. But you also recall that this is a county that's under a continuing duty under the Shackman decree to keep these kind of documents around and to not get rid of them. And so, again, this kind of gets to a point in terms of some of the general evidence that is in the record about the county's history and the past and its duty. I don't claim that you can look in the past and say because Cook County has been found to have discriminated on the basis of political patronage significantly over the last 20 or 30 years, that means you have to find it this time. It does mean that their actions should be viewed through the prism of even recently there have been findings of discrimination and political patronage within the county health department, that it continues to be subject to the Shackman decree. My suspicion is things are going to get a lot better now, but that we are dealing now with the previous administration and not the current administration here. When you look at the sum of all this evidence, and I see I'm entering my rebuttal phase.
Yes, you're about to run your rebuttal time out.
Yes. Why don't I take a few more minutes, why don't I come back, and I will address the race discrimination and a couple other things when I come back.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Good morning. May it please the Court, Lisa Metter on behalf of Cook County. There is no evidence to support plaintiff's claims of discrimination here, and there's no evidence to support plaintiff's beliefs that she's entitled to these negative inferences. In fact, defendants argue that the entirety of plaintiff's case is in reliance on these attempts at negative inferences that just aren't supported by the evidence. Plaintiff claims that she's entitled to these negative inferences based on suspicious circumstances surrounding the layoffs. Specifically, a previous layoff of physicians, that the county did not utilize seniority as the determining factor in conducting the layoffs, and that the Shackman compliance administrator wasn't involved in the decision as to which dentist was retained. Despite plaintiff's claims, there was no prior layoffs of physicians here. The budget situation for the county, you know, as the county became aware of the budget situation the end of December 2006 and began preparation for what they would do in order to make budget cuts to services and personnel in order to achieve this $500 million budget shortfall. That included $130 million in budget cuts for the Bureau of Health alone, which included Cermak Hospital, which is part of the Bureau of Health. The interview process that the plaintiff claims was conducted for the physicians has very limited application. All of these layoffs were taken, the analysis by this team put together by Dr. Simon, all of that was being conducted at the same time for the physicians, for the dentists, for all of the personnel within the Bureau of Health. And each member that was assigned to the team was conducting their own analysis to determine how to achieve these cuts while maintaining the quality of service that is best to be done. The and all of these were done from 2006 through 2007. The physician interviews that were discussed in the testimony of Dr. Simon were conducted when there was a larger group reduced to a smaller group of physicians. For example, if there were 10 physicians in a group and the department was reduced down to 3. The interviews did not take place for physicians where one physician remained. So there's a very limited application of these interviews. And here, in this case, we have Dr. Couture, who not only had worked at CIRMAC for many years with these same dentists, but also, after she left, she was an emergency room physician at Schroeder Hospital, where she had a great deal of interaction with these dentists. In fact, her testimony, despite plaintiff's contentions, as to her interaction with these dentists was extensive. She had personal interaction with all of these dentists and felt that based on her personal experiences and knowledge, that Dr. Townsend was the best choice to remain as the sole dentist at CIRMAC Hospital. He had management experience. He was flexible in treating his patients. He offered his services to the physicians. And he was responsive to not only physicians, but to the patients themselves. He had knowledge of the practice and had an understanding of the systematic problems at issue in treating detainees and for their dental services. These were all issues that Dr. Couture felt were vital in when you're reducing the dental services down from not just emergent care, but preventative care down to emergent care only. Additionally, the plaintiff claims that Cook County was required to use seniority as a factor in determining who was to be retained as the dentist at CIRMAC. The fact of the matter is that simply isn't true. The personnel rules for physicians and dentists do not require considering seniority when conducting a layoff. In fact, the testimony emphasizes that it was important that they not have to rely on seniority. You have physicians and dentists where there are vital services that and knowledge and experience that is necessary, and you can't just consider seniority.
What's the purpose of Personnel Rule 7, then?
Personnel Rule 7 provides that a seniority list be maintained. It be turned over to the Bureau of Health, but that's it. That's the sole limit of it. And, in fact, Cook County would argue that that was the purpose in drafting it. There can be a consideration of seniority, but it's not required. In addition, with regard to the Shackman Compliance Administrator, the plaintiff relies on wholly unsupported and inadmissible conclusion and speculation in claiming that Cook County somehow went behind the back of the Shackman Compliance Administrator when instituting the layoffs of the dentists.
What's the status of the Shackman decree?
Cook County is still subject to the Shackman decree. The expectation is by the end of this year, Cook County will be in substantial compliance and be released from the decree.
I forgot. Does that cover the city, too?
Yes, the city has farther to go. No.
Well, they have farther to go.
The city, if I can argue, the city has, I would say, much farther to go than the county does. But we have good expectations. A lot of progress has been made. That having been said, there is no requirement by the Shackman decree or anything else that the county had to consult the compliance administrator prior to making any of these decisions. And
is there a reason why the compliance administrator wasn't involved, apart from the issue? I understand that it wasn't necessary, but is there a reason why that step was not taken?
There isn't any evidence in the record as to why it wasn't done. I would just be speculating, but Cook County would argue that it wasn't required where you have an individual who's making the decision who has personal experience and knowledge as to these dentists and can make the decision based on that personal experience and knowledge. There is unrebutted testimony from Dr. Couture and Dr. Simon that they did not use political reasons or factors in making any of their decisions, but specifically with regard to these dentists. No one ever tried to influence their decision about any physicians or dentists or any of the layoffs whatsoever. you know, I can guess that the portion of the physician layoffs were substantial. And it was the compliance administrator's office was probably focused on that because this was, while it's extremely important to these individual dentists, it was smaller, certainly, in comparison to the grand scheme.
And there's no evidence that Dr. Couture or Dr. Simon knew about the small campaign contributions that had been made by the dentist who was retained?
That's correct. In fact, the campaign contribution that's made such heyday by Dr. Townsend, the dentist that was retained, was 7 years prior to the layoff, and he purchased tickets to an event from Dr. Knox, who was the chief of dental at CIRMAC. And Dr. Knox asked Dr. Townsend to attend with him. And there certainly isn't any evidence to support making the leap from this, you know, campaign contribution 7 years prior to anything related to the layoff in 2007. As to Dr. Couture's report, plaintiff is also asking for a negative inference as to the alleged loss of the report. Cook County would argue that this is just a red herring. The report, a report was produced by Cook County, and while Dr. Couture couldn't confirm that this report was the final and ultimate draft that was given to Dr. Simon, it was the only report that was retained, and it was maintained at CIRMAC, and she did confirm that the portion with regard to the dentists was the final decision. So even if we were to, even if it could be shown that there was some other report later on, the portion with regard to the dentists never changed. And that was, in fact, what Dr. Couture relied on, and that was ultimately what the decision was made, that Dr. Townsend was the best dentist to be retained for, you know, reducing down to this emergent care only. Now, if I could, just briefly, with regard to, again, plaintiff's Shackman decree and First Amendment claims, plaintiff's claims fail for the same reason. They can't establish that Dr. Couture or Dr. Simon were aware of the political affiliations of Dr. Townsend, Dr. Everett's claimed apolitical status, or any of the other dentists. In addition, the plaintiff can't establish that even if they were aware that the decision to retain Dr. Townsend was based on a political reason or factor. And, in fact, plaintiff admits that she has no knowledge that Dr. Simon or Dr. Couture had any of that information. It certainly couldn't be established that it was the basis for the layoff. With regard to plaintiff's Title VII race discrimination claim, the plaintiff is unable to produce evidence that she was similarly situated to Dr. Townsend. The extensive testimony of Dr. Couture establishes that she was not as qualified or more qualified than Dr. Townsend. Further, Dr. Everett cannot show that she was that similarly situated African-American employees were treated more favorably when two other African-American dentists were terminated in the layoff as well. At the end of the day, Cook County had a huge budget shortfall that required difficult decisions to lay off hundreds of employees. Dr. Couture determined that Dr. Townsend was the best choice to remain as the sole dentist at CIRMAC. This decision was based on, excuse me, his knowledge and experience, not on race or political reasons or factors, and the plaintiff can't show otherwise. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. How much time? You have 2 minutes.
All right. Your Honor, I will turn directly to the second point that I was going to address, and that is what prima facie evidence is there of an unlawful motive? Because I do believe that the record shows very much that the district court was required to disregard Dr. Couture's testimony because of all the questions about it and because of the independent record evidence. So then we look at whether there's prima facie evidence of an unlawful motive. First, let's look at the race discrimination claim. What is a prima facie case? Member of a protected class, performing satisfactorily, adverse employment action, replaced by somebody else, outside of the protected class. The only minor issue here would be similarly situated. And I do not believe that the fact that the acting director situation, which is a disputed fact, is enough to take this case out of that position. You have a prima facie case of race discrimination and direct evidence casting, and evidence casting doubt on the decision maker's proffered reason. Under Reeves versus Anderson, that's the plaintiff's burden, and she's met it. Turning to the unlawful motive for the political retaliation or the political patronage, the evidence is not just one single campaign contribution in 2000. It is a campaign, two campaign contributions in 2006 to Frederica Lyle, a former officer with the Stroger for President organization. You have the location of Dr. Townsend's office adjacent to the 8th Ward. You have him acknowledging that he knows Mr. Beavers. And you also have Dr. Townsend not appearing and not showing up the 2 days of the layoffs, which Dr. Everett observed and was able to testify to. These are also circumstances which suggest that there was a political patronage motive that infected the process. The last point I would make, and then I will close, is that with respect to the layoff of physicians, if you look at tab 8, the plaintiff's statement of additional facts, that's where the compliance administrator describes the physician layoffs. There's no mention of dentists there. It was physicians and nurses. Whether or not they were part of a long, ongoing process in terms of the budget is one question, but they were done completely separately. One was done right in the presence of the compliance administrator. One was done without the compliance administrator knowing about it. For those reasons, Your Honor, we would ask that the district court's decision be reversed and the case be remanded. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.